Welcome to Hungry Dads, your guided tour through the delicate and often overwhelming balancing act between food indulgences and social acceptance. And now, as always, here are your hosts, Rod Budget and Hugh Gallen.
Hello, and welcome to episode 29 of Hungry Dads. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen.
And I'd like to start tonight with a bit of a cautionary tale from the past week. I had a bit of a 48-hour stomach bug, and I can pretty readily identify the source. It happened Sunday night when Mrs. Budget was out to eat with a friend, and I was home with the kids. And after I put them down to sleep, I ordered a pizza because I couldn't let the kids know that I had pizza in the house. So it was a bit of a covert eating opportunity around the children. Mrs. Budget knew that I was ordering the pizza, so it wasn't covert with her. It was an opportunity. I was alone for once. I could just really chow down. So I ordered a medium Domino's pizza, which isn't that much food. It's what I would say is the equivalent of maybe 2.5 to 3 big New York City slices. So I thought I can put that away pretty easily. As I discovered, as I'm aging, I can't put away as much pizza as I once did. I got 6 slices in, and I was pretty full. There were 2 slices remaining, and I kind of stared at the slices and made that tough decision. I said, you know what, it's still pretty early in the night. I'm going to go off and do a few other things and come back and see how I feel about these 2 slices. And my next question was, should I put these in the fridge or not? And I was like, nah, pizza stays out a pretty lengthy amount of time. It keeps well. If you're at social functions with pizza, it stays out for a while. Hugh mentioned in episode 8 that he prefers his pizza just kind of warm, not necessarily hot. I'm the same way. I actually don't like putting pizza in the microwave. I think it kind of softens the crust and there's a weird texture to it. So I made the decision Sunday night to go off and do a few things, and a few things turned into several hours, and I came back and I was pretty hungry again, and the 2 slices were there. I really thought nothing of it. I said, I'm going to have the 2 slices. Ate them. They tasted fine. The next day, I was not feeling well at all. I was hit with a bug. Here's my main takeaways. I'm getting older. I can't eat as much as I used to in one sitting, which is, I have mixed emotions about that. It's a little sad, but at the same time, I suppose it's a good thing. But my main takeaway is, with pizza, either go for it or cut bait. You can't be indecisive like I was. That's my main takeaway. Go into it and eat the whole thing, or cut bait when you're done with that first or second serving and put the rest in the fridge. It's going to save you a lot of potential heartache down the road.
Yeah, there might be something to the fact that it's just the aging. You don't have the same constitution against those little bacteria. I mean, I think when I was younger, I had we had iron stomachs in more ways than one. Not only could we put away more, but what we put away didn't have to be of a high quality. It didn't have to be particularly fresh. But now our aging bodies are just susceptible to all of these things. So
yeah, that's a good point. Beyond just not being able to eat as much, I think, you know, you have a weakened immune system as you age, and it's probably easier for those little bugs to get in my old stomach and cause a lot of problems. So just another problem of the aging hungry dad.
Rod, tonight I'm bringing back a favorite that we only did once. I'm bringing us back to episode 2 when we did Fast Food Time Warp.
Fast Food Time Warp,
February 2nd, 2015.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's. How can I help you?
2 hash browns and a small coffee.
You know what? For your payment today, do you have your cell phone with you?
Yeah.
Dial up your mom. Tell her you love her.
Excuse me? I thought you'd just tell me how much it is.
That is how much it is. Boom!
Your payment today will be telling me what you love about your son.
The total says that she has to dance right now.
No. Oh, yeah!
You paid with love, and that's all we need.
So as we heard in the clip, for this Fast Food Time Warp, I want to revisit the McDonald's Lovin' It, Pay with Lovin' promotion. We're not going back that far in time, to be perfectly honest, just February of this year. I never fully understood this promotion. I remember seeing these commercials, and I remember reading that you could pay for your meal with like a hug or a fist bump. Do you remember this promotion?
I do. I heard some local radio ads for it.
I saw the commercial and wasn't sure how it worked. It didn't make sense to me, from the commercial at least, how I could just decide to pay with a hug or a fist bump. Did I just get to say, yes, I'd like to do this? Did they have to ask me? And if they asked me, why would they ask me instead of someone else? Or how could I get asked? Now, the promotion's over now, but I was still curious, and I think it's actually perhaps more interesting to look at it now that it is over. But first things first, let's just look at the rules. According to the rules of this promotion, between February 2nd and February 14th, if you walked into a McDonald's, you were playing the game, whether you knew it or not. Each location had what they called a love and lead manager, who had already chosen one particular door and some random predetermined times. If you were the first, quote, eligible participant to walk through the, quote, predetermined doorway at the time chosen or immediately afterwards, the love and lead manager would identify you and they would tell you that you were the unofficial winner. Are you following this so far?
I think so. You can't be official yet.
So the first thing, and I'm only a quarter of the way through the rules, and I'm already feeling bad for this love and lead manager.
Yeah,
because they've got their work cut out for them in this
promotion.
Now,
do you know, is the love and lead manager just like the regular manager of the location, probably, or is this some special consultant they've brought in to love and lead?
I think it's just whoever's in charge at the time. I think they tried to give him a cute title, maybe to help him get down with it. Because I'll speak about this when we're done, but just to set the tone, I can already tell you. As the manager of a location, once I saw these rules and I got my handbook that I had to do this in my store, I don't know. I would have been pretty frustrated.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the burgers out on time. I'm trying to get the fries out on time. Watching the door during this time, and I identify my person, and then I tell them when they come to place an order that they are the unofficial winner. Or if they don't come to place an order, I got to go catch them before they leave. The rules literally say you don't have to make a purchase to participate, and it actually says if the person's just there to use the bathroom, your love and lead has to go catch them before they walk out, or if they're there just to play the game.
Wow.
The love and lead will ask the customer to, quote, execute a random act of loving, or the, quote, loving act. I'm just going to read this part right from the rules. Love and acts will be designated by the love and lead manager and may include things like fist bumping the love and lead, calling a loved one, telling the love and lead why they love their significant other, blowing a kiss, or other general sentiment, or love and act in the theme of the game.
First of all, the fist bump is by far the easiest. Like,
yeah.
If you get the fist bump, like, sure.
And the satisfactory completion of the act is subject to the love and lead's reasonable discretion, and it has to be completed to the love and lead's reasonable satisfaction. Those are words right from the rules. So this love and lead not only has a lot of extra work, but he or she's got a lot of power here,
right.
It would seem, over what is a, quote, love and act.
That's perverse.
You complete your love and act to the satisfaction of the love and lead, and you basically win a meal or two. If you've already placed the order before they tell you you're the person, then you get your order for free. So if you were lucky enough to spit your order out and it was a huge order before they tell you, then I think the store is basically screwed, because they're supposed to have a budget of like $5.60 per award and they have to give 100 of them away. So like, imagine you were the baseball coach and you walked in and you spit out this order and then they didn't get to tell you in time.
I think at that point, the love and lead leader just doesn't go with that person.
Yeah, and if they don't, I will say they've broken the rules of the game. I'm sure it happened, but officially these rules were written and they were supposed to have their time and their person selected, so
they've broken the spirit of the game, really.
I'm willing to guess there were also like some vagrants who walked in who were officially the unofficial winner, and I think they passed. Again, I'm just guessing here.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably some people who are regular bathroom users at some McDonald's, especially in Manhattan, and I don't think they were asked to perform a love and act.
I mean, I don't know, like $5 worth of food versus calling someone and telling them you love them. I don't know if $5 is worth it.
Well, and that's kind of what I want to get to. So here's another big, big part of the rule. You complete this love and act, you get $5 worth of food. This is my favorite part. When you accept this free meal, you give McDonald's irrevocable, unrestricted, worldwide right to use, publish, display, broadcast, and distribute your name, voice, image, likeness, and or any other identifiable representation, which shall remain the sole and exclusive property of McDonald's.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were describing this, this is obviously a social media type thought up by some young kid.
You release your right to inspect or approve any use of your likeness. You're responsible for any taxes, apparently, and McDonald's won't be liable for any damages you may have to your name or reputation with respect to this matter. All for the price of a value meal, basically.
You're responsible for taxes?
Hey, look, someone wrote these rules. I'm sure they had to cover that. I think officially you'd have to claim that on your taxes. Look, I'm not actually trying to beat up on McDonald's, because I think what they were trying to do was a little unique and a little interesting. But what's I remember wondering, how does this work? And then once I looked at the rules and I thought how this worked, my first thought was not so much about me as the potential customer, but more about the people on the other side of the counter having to execute this this promotion. And I can imagine that many of them were not loving this. One quote that I saw on a YouTube page really, really summed it up for me. And this is what it said. I do work at McDonald's, and yeah, it's so people want to try to get free food when all it's doing is advertising our new menu. They swarm in hoping to get their meal paid for. It's more greed than love. It will be an interesting 2 weeks, hoping I don't have to do this because I'm not the best socially with this kind of stuff, as well as I disagree with the campaign as a whole. I can imagine that was the sentiment of a lot of McDonald's employees as they saw this rollout.
I can't imagine that anyone was overly enthused about doing this, and it makes you wonder how many people actually followed through and did it properly versus kind of scamming the system or just kind of telling somebody, hey, you get a free $5 and not making them do anything.
Or just kind of doing the whole thing very underplayed. Yeah, I think the hope was that this would become a social media. You know, McDonald's is trying everything they can to come off as a good guy lately because they're nothing but a bad guy in most lights. But in my estimation, Rod, you tell me, this promotion was a failure, right? I'm guessing they wanted a lot of good buzz, good word of mouth, but I don't think I heard much about it. Did you hear afterwards anything about it? Positive?
No. I've heard nothing about it since those initial few ads. And if they wanted this to be kind of a social viral thing, then you would think afterwards would be the key time to hear about it and share all these great feelings. And I mean, it seems a little too contrived to me. Like, I think everybody knows that they're trying to get people to do these warm, fuzzy things, but it's all very formulaic and not spontaneous, so I don't think people are going to be sharing or liking people calling their mom and telling them they love them because they earned a free Big Mac.
Yeah, even in the ad that they played, that we played before, which, by the way, would have been done before the actual promotion, so they must have done some testing or something like that. One of the guys, I forget what he says, but he's something like, can you just tell me what this costs? Like, yeah. It was almost like he's like, just give me the price. I don't want to do this. It was, I mean, that's at least the tone I picked up.
That's the thing. I mean, it's a $5 trade-off of being annoyed / put on the spot / potentially having your name out there in social media or paying your $5 for McDonald's. I think most people would choose paying their $5.
And a brief and broad look at the internet and the buzz that I saw now, you know, a few months after, it was mostly negative and snarky, which of course is what the internet provides. But I think McDonald's was looking to have that social media viral communication. And as we talked about kind of with Nutella, I think in the last episode, there was a promotion where they did something online and they kind of saw the scourge of the internet. I think the same thing happened here with McDonald's. They wanted to do something that, look, it's fine. I mean, we know they're trying to sell hamburgers, but they were trying to be positive. People say no one's ever positive anymore. And so they tried to be positive, and look, they got slapped around on the internet for it. So this is the second time we've talked about McDonald's. We talked before about their Our Food, Your Questions campaign, and we came out kind of thinking it was a good idea, but ultimately probably doomed to fail. And I think we're saying something similar here. So, Rod, what's McDonald's to do? I think they're trying everything. They're trying new things, but they can't seem to come out as a good guy no matter what. Any suggestions for McDonald's people?
The first thing that comes to my head is just simplify and kind of go back to their roots maybe, which might be a bad decision. But, I mean, I feel like their sales probably started to decline as more and more competition popped up, and, you know, initially they couldn't just stand by, hey, we're burgers, we're inexpensive, we're fast, because there was too much competition. And there's a little bit of health concern stuff playing into it as well, but really all fast food has to deal with that. I almost feel like if they just have an honest campaign and go back to basics and say, hey, remember the Big Mac? Remember the Quarter Pounder? We've been around for a long time. This is what we do. This is what we know. You love us. You know you do. You grew up with us. Remember the Happy Meal? Remember when the Happy Meal was in the cartons with the games on the side? Almost something very honest and very, hey, this is who we are. We've been around the block. We know we're the biggest on the block, but we know that you love us. We're a part of Americana, really. We are that big. Whereas I think now they're just kind of tiptoeing around and trying a million different things. You know, when you start doing all that and it doesn't work out, I think logically you just turn it on its head and be very honest.
I gotta tell you, Rod, I asked you that question as a pop quiz, not sure you'd be able to answer it. I think that's an excellent answer.
Advertising's mostly about BSing off the top of your head, so I've had some experience.
I saw a headline where McDonald's is going to be offering a free McMuffins to someone who brings in their Taco Bell breakfast receipt. I don't fully understand that. Is it encouraging people to go to Taco Bell? Does it encourage people to compare the breakfast face-to-face? What is that? I didn't quite digest
it. I saw
that
as well, and it struck me as a very desperate move, almost like admitting that we're losing business to Taco Bell. So, hey, if you're going there anyway, come here, we'll give you a free breakfast. And I guess they're hoping that the people will like the McDonald's breakfast even more than Taco Bell and start coming to McDonald's. But I feel like that's a pretty big stretch. I think people are going to these places either from convenience, it's close to where they live or work, or they have a specific food item for breakfast that they like a lot. So I don't know. That struck me as odd as well.
Like you said, number one, they're now acknowledging that Taco Bell is apparently a threat to breakfast. Why would they even share that? And then number two, the promotion itself seems to make me want to go to Taco Bell to get breakfast first.
Exactly.
And then go to McDonald's to get something for free. I'm not sure McDonald's is going to win in that scenario. I'm only giving one of those two people money, and one of them is a place I probably wasn't going to go to anyway, but now I might. I'm befuddled, McDonald's. Well, I smell a new secret menu item. It's a waffle taco with a McMuffin crammed inside. I'll call it the McWaffle McTaco McMuffin? McWaffle McWaffin? McWaffle Taco McMuffin. McMuffin Taco
McWafflin?
McWafflin. We'll call it the McWafflin.
Hungry Dad.
So I have some examples of situations where, like we've already talked about, maybe an employee at a food establishment is being asked to do something above and beyond or a little bit different than what would be expected of a normal employee. I'm going to ask you six either-or type questions, and I just want you to answer first and we can circle back. First things first, I don't know what to call this segment. Should I call it Pop Quiz or Quick Hits?
Quick Hits.
Quick hits. All right. So we're going to do some quick hits. So I just want you to answer quickly, and then we'll circle back with your explanations. So first one's easy. We just talked about it. The McDonald's Pay with Love in promotion. Fun and endearing or awkward and unnerving?
Awkward and unnerving.
The second one, if you've been to a Dairy Queen, you have experienced where they hand you a blizzard and they turn it upside down before they give it to you. Impressive or unnecessary?
Very unnecessary.
If you've ever gone to a Cold Stone Creamery, when you give them a tip, everybody starts singing. Is this a show of mutual appreciation between customer and server, or is this just a cheap musical prostitution of the staff?
Cheap musical staff prostitution.
This one's a little obscure, so if you don't know it, let me give some explanation. Have you ever heard of Lambert's House of Throwed Rolls?
I have not.
Okay. It's not a chain. It's just a place that my parents love. It's in Branson, Missouri, and it's a restaurant where you get your rolls by they throw them to you from across the room. There's a guy with a basket of rolls that tosses them all over the restaurant. Right. So imagine yourself in a restaurant. I don't know. It's probably like an Applebee's or maybe even a little more nice. And there's a guy with a basket. And if you want a roll, you stick your arm up in the air and he tosses it to you. Is this good, clean fun or a hazardous and unsanitary distribution method?
Good, clean fun.
Okay, here's a tough one. Starbucks Race Together campaign. You're familiar with this?
Yes.
Starbucks baristas were encouraged to write comments or ask questions about race on the cups before they gave out the coffee. Was this progressive or preachy?
Preachy.
Last one. And I want you to think really from the perspective of the employee here. Chuck E. Cheese. I've heard anecdotally more than once that the person in the Chuck E. Cheese costume is just the guy or gal who makes the pizza. So is this a fun break from the kitchen or a this should not be in my job description situation?
Fun break from the kitchen.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Okay. So I'll go back to the first one, which I think we covered pretty clearly. But you said that like the McDonald's pay with love and promotion was just awkward and unnerving, not fun and endearing. Basically, I think we covered that at the beginning. Anything to add to that?
Awkward is a good word for it. I think it's awkward from the manager's standpoint and from the customer's standpoint.
Second one we talked about was the Dairy Queen Blizzard, where they give it to you. When they hand it over the counter, they turn it upside down before they give it to you. And I've read online that if they don't do that, that your Blizzard is free. You said it's very unnecessary. Why do you say that?
I'm glad you brought this one up, because this is something that annoys me in general, and I've talked about it, not on air, but with my family and friends. I guess they're trying to prove that it's a really thick blizzard, but I don't like really, really thick blizzard-type things. Like, I want to be able to consume it without chipping it off with, you know, the plastic fork breaks in half. Like, it's almost disproving their point. Don't turn it upside down, because it makes me angry.
Because it's not soft enough to consume.
Stick it in the microwave for 5 seconds and let me watch you do that, and then hand it to me and I'll cheer you.
It's funny. I also agree that it's unnecessary, but for a very different reason. It kind of stresses me out. I'm sure that their machine is working properly. I'm sure that their ingredients are working fine, but I want this blizzard, and God forbid it spills out on the counter.
All over.
I've got to now wait for another damn blizzard. I just want the thing. And I tell you, I get the same feeling about it as I do about Cirque du Soleil. You familiar with Cirque du Soleil?
Yes.
They got these people climbing up on these towers, doing flips. It just stresses me out. I want to shout. I just want to say, stop. Everyone stop. You don't have to do this for me. I don't want you to hurt yourself. This is, please.
That's a much more reasonable, I think, stress situation. But that does bring up a really good question now. If they do turn your blizzard upside down and they dump it all over you, do you also get a free blizzard?
I would guess so, but it's
just... Because if they don't do it, you do.
I mean, it has to have happened, right? It has to have happened. That if
it
someone
can't
sometimes
happen often, or they would never do it.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
I'm
the
sure
machine's broken.
Yeah.
Someone messed up the ingredients,
yeah,
or something.
That's a great
and
question.
I'd be livid if mine was the one. Now I got to wait for them to clean it up and make me another one. And I know this person across the counter ain't happy about it either. Just hand it to me. And like you said, if it's a little softer than his corporate allows, fine.
If
it'll be easier to eat.
Softer than a rock, then that's okay.
Moving on. Cold Stone Creamery, you throw a tip in the jar, everyone has to start singing. You said this was some sort of cheap musical prostitution. I tend to agree. Why did you say that?
I mean, I think it's obvious. I mean, I'm skeptical by nature, so maybe I'm a bit of a dud, but if you're standing in line and somebody throws a tip in and everybody starts singing, what are you going to do? Not throw a tip in? They're not going to sing. They're singing, so everybody knows that people tip. And they're promoting it. They're advertising the fact that tipping is a good thing. Which, hey, I'm not opposed to tipping if they're going above and beyond and making your ice cream in front of you. I'll tip somebody, but don't sing. Actually, that makes me not want to tip.
I'm a little torn on this one because I have been in Cold Stone locations where I really tended to believe that the people behind the counter were as happy to be singing as anything else because it helped pass the time, and presumably they got more tips by doing it. But I've also been at Cold Stone locations where they clearly are kind of stuck doing this, and people seem to be just literally throwing nickels in just to taunt these people. And for a stupid nickel, now they got to belt out some version of London Bridge is Falling Down, and you can tell they don't want to do it. But they seem to be bound by some corporate rule that they have to or should. And so that is where I start to feel bad for them. I feel like there's a lack of choice. And I suppose if there was a way to tell me that it was more optional than mandatory, I'd be okay with it. But overall, I'm not a fan. The fourth example I gave of a time where the staff maybe has to go above and beyond what's normally expected was Lambert's House of Throwed Rolls. And you haven't been there, but I think I described it pretty well. You said this sounds like good, clean fun. Why is this throwing rolls an okay thing to do?
It just sounds like fun. I want to catch my dinner roll. And I assume the thrower I'm picturing, he's very good at it, he or she. They've got a lot of experience. They maybe go behind the back if they're close enough to you. And I don't know. I'm all for fun at a restaurant setting. I'd be raising my hand like every 30 seconds. Yeah, I wonder if there's a limit. Do you know if there's a limit?
No, you're absolutely right. This is, I tell you, my parents, they would go to Branson, Missouri, I don't know, every so often. And they'd see shows, Dolly Parton, and any number of things. All they'd come back and talk about is Lambert's House of Throwed Rolls. And my old man is, you know, pretty serious person. This, he would just almost giggle when he would talk about the guy who throws the rolls. So I never have been there And I don't even know if it's still open. I'm going to assume it is. That will be my pilgrimage, pre-retirement, to get myself to Lambert's House of Throat Rolls, because I never saw my parents happier than when they talked about the guy who threw the rolls to everybody, how much fun it was.
Here's the thing I like most about it, now that I think about it a little bit. It's so simple.
It's so simple.
Hey, let's just have the bread guy chunk the rolls to people. And it's in their name.
And can you imagine, people of, aging population can get such a kick out of that. It's such a thrill. It's such a quirky but safe shtick and gimmick.
Yeah.
It's perfect for brands in Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, Lamberts. You've really made a name for yourselves.
It reminds me of a chain in Texas growing up called Poncho's, a Mexican restaurant chain that I loved as a kid, and I would always want to go there. And the whole reason was they had sopapillas, which are like Mexican dessert pastries. And if you wanted more sopapillas, they had these little miniature Mexican flags on the table, and you raise the flag, and the server comes over. And Little Rod Budget was like, let's go to Poncho's, I'm going to raise the flag.
That is pretty
and
exciting.
And I would raise that flag.
Stepping away from the trivial and towards the very, very serious, we talked about the Starbucks Race Together promotion. What do you think? You said it was preachy. I think America tends to agree with you from what I heard in the buzz. They pulled the plug on this pretty quickly.
Yeah, they abandoned the promotion, which I think kind of speaks for its epic failure. It got a lot of negative press. When I first read about it, I was almost like, is this real? Like, they're really doing this? It's another case of corporate America trying to overthink things, and hey, we're Starbucks, we're a coffee shop, we're about conversation, and we need to go above and beyond, but you're straying into some pretty delicate stuff there, and just asking your baristas to write these things is not above and beyond, it's just completely absurd, and they're the type of things that are very emotional and could cause people to be upset and get into arguments. And, they're trying to promote discussion, they're saying. But if I'm serving coffee, especially during a rush time, like, am I going to want to sit there and talk about race relations with someone? Hey, it's absurd. And I think America realized quickly that it was absurd.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I think I saw it for what it was from 1,000 miles away. But I will say, living here in New York City, I wasn't as initially shocked by it, and I could actually imagine it being accepted and used by lots of people, because when I picture Starbucks, it's a New York City location where your baristas are definitely, progressive, liberal-minded people who probably would bring up this kind of thing, whether it was a corporate mandate or not. Last one, Chuck E. Cheese. You're the pizza man, the pizza maker, and part of your job is to throw on the suit and go entertain the kids. You said this was a fun break from the kitchen, which I was a little bit surprised. Now, this one's in the eye of the beholder. Tell me why you said that.
This was the toughest one, I think. Here's my thinking. Making pizzas at Chuck E. Cheese is no bargain. It's repetitive. It's probably, during busy times, pretty, you got to make a lot of pizzas. Not that donning a mouse costume and mingling with kids is a bargain, but my thinking is if you can go back and forth, it just provides some variety. Neither of them on their own, I would say, are stellar positions, but I think if you mix them up, it just provides a little variety and a break from the pizza kitchen and a break from the mouse costume.
I'd be with you until I thought about the costume itself and that it might be kind of stinky. And that kind of took me right away from it, because I was thinking the same thing. And then I thought, literally climbing into that costume, there's a lot of details that would really make a difference. But assuming that the costume is clean and, maybe I would be willing. But if it's like a gross, stinky costume that's community used, I think I'd rather just make the pizzas.
Let's not forget you're a giant mouse/rat, though, so it probably should be a little bit stinky. I think that makes it a little more believable to the kids. Hungry Dads! Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production.
You're definitely going to get kicked in the groin, and
yeah,
that is not worth it. I mean, either way, you're working at Chuck E. Cheese, so God bless you. That last part might have been a little insulting to the fine people.
To the fine employees.
I didn't mean to be so condescending. I mean, I'm no...
We've all worked at a Chuck E. Cheese at one point, whether it be literally or figuratively.